Today on Real Life Radio.
Everybody's yelling right now and going nuts about gun control, and nobody's talking about dealing with the issue of the spiritual condition of the nation. Guns don't kill anybody. It's a wicked heart that is full of hate and trying to destroy people. We've got to get to the heart.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, when it comes to social media, we can either use it for our benefit or allow ungodly philosophies, opinions, and worldviews to bog us down with content that really doesn't come from a place of love and hope. We often fail to realize the influence social media has upon our lives. So if you're looking for a social media source that promotes biblical truth, simply head over to our website, jackhibbs.com. Now, once you're there, you'll find Pastor Jack's podcasts, YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, real-life radio programs, and a whole lot more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com, and it's there you'll find easy access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer, including our real-life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. That's at jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series called 1 Peter with a message titled Anchored to the One True God, Part 1. The Apostle Peter, with words of encouragement, arrives just in time to bring comfort and inspiration to the Christ followers of his day. You see, they were suffering under the heavy hand of the Romans, so Peter reminds them that these trials and persecutions will not defeat them. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that Peter was a fisherman by trade, but when Jesus called him to be a fisher of men, Peter left his nets behind to follow Jesus and to become the most passionate of all of Jesus' disciples. Now, in a message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
All of these things began to stack up against the Christian witness, and it was perfect for Nero to launch his reign of persecution, which broke out in Rome, and it swept over the entire Roman Empire. Millions of Christians were slaughtered over time. And there's a record, by the way, of a historian that watched it. Tacitus, the famous Roman historian, in his book of the Annals, chapter 15, section 44, I read him verbatim. But by all human efforts, all the lavish gifts of the emperor, he's trying to bribe the people, and the propitiations of the gods did not banish the sinister belief that the conflagration of Rome, the burning of Rome, was the result of his own order. Consequently, to get rid of that report, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures upon a class of people hated by all for their abominations, these called Christians by the populace. Christos, Christ, Jesus, from whom the name had its origin, he suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one procurator, Pontius Pilate, and a most mischievous superstition, thus checked for the moment, again broke out, not only in Judea, the first source of the evil, but even Rome. They're talking about the spread of Christianity, or he is talking about the spread of Christianity, where all things hideous and shameful from every part of the world find their center and become popular. Interesting. So much, accordingly, an arrest was first made of all the Christians, he's referring to those in Rome, then upon information disseminated, an immense multitude was convicted, not so much of the crime for firing the city, burning down the city, as of hatred against mankind. Listen, you can accuse Christians a lot of things, but it's interesting, the previous and the following Roman Empire, Roman leader will both write that if you wanted to see the most loving people at all, look at those Christians. Nero says, no, they're hateful. He labeled them haters. It wasn't the justification in his mind, let's kill them because they burned Rome. No, he was guilty of that. He deflected. And you know what he did? To take the deflection to the most beneficial direction and his interest, he blames the Christians and he says, these people are exclusive. These people hate. These people are self-righteous. These people are homophobes, Islamophobes. Think of it. Does that not sound familiar? Isn't it interesting? Now, I'm going to say this really quick. I don't want to, it's a diversion from what I'm talking about. But I don't believe, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. I believe that's 100% true. What I believe that we are watching in this day and age is a revival of the demonic powers that influence the thinking of a culture. And what worked then will work again, and it's coming back. I believe it's coming back, church. The same demons that will torment the culture and the society through yielded means will say the same things. And right now, Christians, because we know what we believe also that the Bible announces that there's a heaven, that there's a hell, that God loves us, that he died on the cross for our sins in Christ, rose again from the dead for our justification. That message demands that every man, woman, boy, and girl understand that Jesus died for our what?
Sin.
And that's the problem. You cannot go around and tell people that they're sinners so that they can be saved and go to heaven forever. No, that's illegal almost. You'll be persecuted for that. And it's happening. It's happening again. It's happening last month in Detroit, Michigan, where a church went out to invite people who are questioning their gender to give encouragement. The invitation went out to moms to bring their daughters because the church was going to show them the womanhood of women, women celebrating women to be feminine. And they were viewed as being hateful and hostile. And now the government of Michigan, the state Democrats, by the way, don't get upset. I don't like Republicans or Democrats. There's a couple of Democrats I know in Washington. They're nice guys. And there's some Republicans I know that are nice guys. I'm not endorsing or condemning a party. What I am saying is Democrat leadership in Michigan have gotten together and they're launching an attack against the pastor. They're launching an attack against the church. They're calling for a full financial investigation. What does finances have to do with their doctrine? Listen, they want to review sermons. They want to take a look at the church. They're considering revoking its 501c3 existence to be a church. In Detroit, in Michigan, in the 21st century, in the United States of America, what's going on? It's a resurrection of a demon spirit to go after God's people. It's coming again. Absolutely remarkable. But I'm still reading from Tacitus, chapter 15, section 44. Accordingly, an arrest was made of the Christians. Then upon information disseminated, an immense multitude was convicted, not so much for the crime of firing the city as of hatred against mankind. Mockery of every sort was added to their deaths. They were covered with the skins of animals, wild beasts. They took the skins of animals and they stitched it around them. They put the guy inside, the lady inside, and they stitched the animal clothes on them like a deer outfit. And then what does it say? Released them to the wild dogs, and thereby they perished. Some were nailed to crosses, like their Christus, like their Jesus. Go online, just Google ISIS crucifying Christians. When it pops up on Google, hit image. Just hit image. You'll see Christians in Syria, in northern Iraq, crucified there, all the way down to two-year-old babies crucified on crosses. Why isn't people talking about this? It's not popular to talk about this. It's too shocking to talk about this. It's happening again. And Nero is a master at it. Listen to this. Once daylight had expired, others were doomed to the flames and burned alive to serve as a nightly illuminations along the streets and at Nero's pleasure. And I can't tell you some of the other things that he did. They're too demonically sensual. But when he saw Christians burning, that would excite him to no end. Ladies and gentlemen, there's stuff going on in America today that has no explanation, except in my opinion, the influence of demonic activity. Everybody's yelling right now and going nuts about gun control, and nobody's talking about dealing with the issue of the spiritual condition of the nation. Guns don't kill anybody. It's a wicked heart that is full of hate and trying to destroy people. We've got to get to the heart. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. But no one will talk about the deep thing. Well, listen, we're going to have more laws. We're going to spend more money. We're going to get more cops on the streets. We're going to lose more freedoms. And nothing's going to change until you address the human heart from which all of this comes from. But you can't talk about that publicly because that gets the municipalities and the powers that are upset. And so it's going to continue just as it is. And they're all dancing around the problem. It's the human heart. And so persecution was destroying the church. I put that in quotes because guess what happened? Persecution, hallelujah, never destroys the church. Persecution always purifies the church. Always. In fact, I'm convinced of this. I don't believe Satan wants to persecute the church any longer the way that we would think, or the way that he has seen in the past, but yet it happens, because every time it does, false believers run out the door, true believers stay, and even in the face of martyrdom, guess what happens to the unbeliever? The unbeliever says, I don't have anything worth dying for in my life. Those Christians, they know what they believe so much that they're willing to die for what they believe. I don't have anything like that to live for. And you've got to ask yourself that question. Do you have a faith in Christ that you're willing to die for? Peter lived now a long life. He's old Peter now. He's old. And some of his apostles that trafficked with him are now dead. Peter, the man who once denied Jesus, remember, on that night of Jesus' crucifixion or arrest, he knew the sting of denying Christ. And Peter wasn't going to go through that again. Written from Rome, the Bible tells us, if you look back at verse 1, it says right there that he writes it to those who are where? To the dispersion that are in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia. When I say Asia, not the Asia you're thinking about. Asia would be the region of just south of the Black Sea on your map, in your head, your geography. It's over here, actually. Black Sea, Turkey this way, Black Sea over here, the Caucasus Mountains. And it predominantly covers today what we would say is Turkey, up from Lebanon, Syria, over the arm of Turkey, bridging into Europe. That's Asia, or known as Asia Minor. This is a huge region, a huge region. In fact, you guys, can we just show the map? I kind of caught you off guard there. I had the map at the end. We'll just throw it up there now. This is a huge region. You see the area where you see Asia and Galatia, Cappadocia? That is Turkey today. You see Damascus in the bottom right-hand corner, of course, of Syria. But all of this region is an area that if we were to go way left to the screen, you would see Italy, the boot, Sicily on the end, right? So you would see Rome. Peter's writing from Rome, and Silvanus, Silas will take this epistle and he'll walk it all across Europe. Isn't that amazing? He'll walk that thing across Europe and get it to the churches that are in all of this region from the Black Sea all the way down to the Mediterranean into the Aegean Sea. And why? What's the big deal? Because Peter, listen, church, Peter is writing to a group of people who are watching their brothers and sisters either A, die because they're followers of Jesus, or the specter is looming over their heads that they're gonna die for being Christians. And I'm gonna ask you, no answer out loud, I'm gonna ask you, what would you do if something happened in this nation, something happened in this state where there was an onslaught against Christians? Because remember, Satan is a gradualist. He starts slowly, little bit at a time, little bit. He creeps, he's a creep. He's a creeper. He's not dumb. Somebody just asked me last service, do you think Satan can read our minds? That's impossible. That's an attribute of God. You say, yeah, but it's like he knew. Listen, he's old. You know, he's been around a long time. He's dealt with a lot of people. He knows. I don't think we're all that complex, personally. I think Satan and his minions have lived long enough to figure out, I kind of know how 93% of humans are going to decide when they're in this kind of a situation. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. I think he's very good at guessing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And so the enemy is attacking, Christians are standing, and the specter of fear is upon them to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And Peter's writing to them. And I actually think that a believer like Peter, who over the years, it's a beautiful thing, who over the years has seen God's faithfulness, because you got to remember, let's think about Peter. You guys, have you ever denied Jesus? Let's be honest. Okay, wait, let me take that back. Everyone raise your hand. Yes, you have. I gotcha. This is how. You say, I'm highly offended at that. Oh, grow up. Listen. This is what happens. You know when the Holy Spirit says, tell that person right there about me, and you don't do it? You're denying Christ. We all do that. It happens all the time. When you're at work and somebody's saying a filthy joke, and you hear God say to you, tell the guy to knock it off. Tell the guy, hey man, there's ladies in the room. Or tell the guy, hey man, that's offensive. And you don't do it. Are you with me? We're all guilty of that. We're all guilty of that. Here's a man who's writing to us, Peter, who denied Jesus Christ in the moment of Jesus' greatest need, who was won back to Christ. And I want to hear from him. Don't you? I want to hear from a man who survived denying Jesus Christ. I want to hear from a man who lived a life in a hostile Roman world that was anti-Christ, anti-Christian, and lived long enough to write about it. We're going to learn so much of God's grace, of God's power. We're going to learn so much about this book being anchored to the hope of God in the midst of suffering. Peter is all about suffering. If the New Testament had a correlation to the book of Job, it's Peter. Peter is going to tell you, Peter could preach to Job, and it's truly amazing. So over the course of the next couple of months or years going through Peter, you ought to be encouraged. You ought to be encouraged. But Peter was a man who, according to history, the Bible teaches us that he was a very strong man. I'm not going to read the entire portion. You can look it down later. In John chapter 21, the Bible tells us that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead that weekend, but the disciples were not fully convinced. They were filled with a lot of fear and doubt. And Peter, by trade, by trade, Peter was what? A fisherman by trade. And so, he was fishing when Jesus met him. The Bible tells us that Peter had a brother. Remember what his brother's name was? Peter and Andrew. Peter and Andrew were brothers. James and John were brothers. Peter and Andrew worked for James and John's dad, Mr. Zebedee. Both the boys, James and John Zebedee, Jay-Z. Peter and Andrew worked for Jay-Z Fish Company. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 5 that they had a company together. They actually had a company. They were a fishing company. They knew how to fish, but the Bible tells us something about Peter. In John chapter 21, Peter, the Bible tells us they're all in the boat fishing. In fact, it's kind of cute because they're all disgruntled and bummed. And Peter said, I've had enough of this. I'm going fishing. What do you, that makes sense, right? When your world is getting rocked, it's actually therapeutic to go do something that you like to do and that you know how to do. Did you know that? You know, that's normal human behavior. When men get upset, what do men do? Oh, okay. Now, what is going on in here today? They sit silent? No, don't they go golf or something? What do you do? What do you go? You go to the gym? You go run? Is that? I don't know what you do. I think eating is approved of God to do. But so a man does. What does a woman do when she's upset? When she needs... Guys, see that? See how they responded like that? Shop. In fact, I heard one woman here over to my right say, shop, shop. That's big shopping. But you go to a place where it's like, you know, I'm going to unwind. I'm going to get a, Peter says, I can't handle this. I'm going fishing. And all the disciples said, we're going with you. I don't know if that was good news to Peter, but they all got in the boat and they're out on the water. And the Bible tells us that as they fished all night long, they caught nothing. And as the morning was dawning, they looked on the shore and there's a man standing on the shore that they did not recognize, it says. And from the shore, you hear this, Padeon, Padeon in Greek. What is this? What is this? Little boys. Someone's on the shore shouting to a bunch of men in a boat, little boys, have you any food? Now, I don't know, if you're a fisherman and you've been up all night and you have not one fish in your boat and somebody from land says, hey, little boys, got any food? Them fighting words, right? Wow, are you serious? I wonder what was going on in their minds. Who is this Yahoo on the shore? Because it says they didn't know who it was. And they answered back, listen, they answered back in the Greek, ome. What's ome? Answer, certainly nothing. The word means there's no fish to catch. That's what the word means. No fish to catch, you person without a boat standing on the shore. It's an awesome moment. Jesus has got to be having fun with that. And the Bible tells us that John, the author of John's gospel, John, it's his boat company, his dad's company. John leans over to Peter and says, it's the Lord. How did John know? I don't know. It doesn't say. John says, it's the Lord. And the Bible says, read it later, John 21. It says, Peter stood up and put on his outer garment. It means he had his undergarments on. It's not exactly fruit of the loom. It's a little bit more than that, but not much. Now, listen, it says Peter put on his robe. Do you put on your robe to jump in the water? No. Peter puts on the robe, dives in. In fact, the Bible says that he plunged into the sea. The word plunged in Greek means he threw himself into the water. There's no organization to it. He's getting his robe on. He's getting it on and he just flings himself into the water. And the Bible says he swims 100 cubits to shore. It's 130 yards long. 130 yards, longer than a football field. What does that tell you about Peter? Passionate, impetuous, wanted to be with Jesus. Isn't that sweet? By the way, listen, are you here today and you're one? You see, Pastor, go back to that thing you mentioned a moment ago about denying Jesus Christ. I haven't gotten past that yet. Well, listen, you can get past it now. The very one that denied Jesus to his face is the first one in the water. When John said, it's the Lord, Peter didn't say, how do you know? He doesn't even ask. Just at the thought of it being Jesus, Peter says to himself, I'm assuming, I wasn't there, Peter must say to himself, I'm not letting him get away again.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ really did carry him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace. But daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.